Blog Talk Radio.
God, there's so much I don't like right there. First of all, I don't like starting the show with like a TV spot. It just feels weird. I don't even post TV spots on punchdrunkcritics.com. I hate them so much. I don't like TV spots. They just suck. It's either trailers or clips or whatever, but TV spots, boo. And to have to start the show with one, it blows, man. But they didn't provide any real clips for the Dark Tower, and there's probably a good reason why, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But before I get too far into this, I'm Travis Hobson, and this is Cinema Royale. Of course, you knew that already. This week's show, we're talking to Dark Tower. My buddy Matt Razak of Flixus.com. He's going to call. He's already called in. He's sitting in the lobby now. We're going to talk about that. After that, I'm going to talk about my experience checking out an Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power, which did not have that subtitle when I saw it at Sundance. It was just an Inconvenient Sequel. I guess they hadn't thought about speaking Truth to Power at that point. But I guess that's kind of the point of what my story will be. So we'll talk about that. I saw it like the world premiere of it, like the day before Donald Trump's inauguration. It was very, very interesting. But anyway, I'll talk about that after we finish talking about the Dark Tower, which I know a lot of people are really interested in hearing about. If you haven't already heard me on News Channel 8 or WBAL Morning News talking about it this week, I'll be able to go a little bit deeper into it now because I won't be on a 2-minute clock. So I could talk a little bit more about what they did to Stephen King's novels here. And I'm not a reader of the Dark Tower books. I can't get as deep into it as Matt probably can, but he can probably, go a little bit further than I could on that. I'm also going to talk about Wonder Woman, how she's maybe getting an Academy Awards push from Warner Brothers later this year. I'll give my thoughts on that, whether or not I think that is a smart idea. And then we got news and Blu-rays, all the good stuff. So I want to thank everybody who has been checking out Critical, the Movie Critics Network on Blog Talk Radio. And thank everyone who has liked us on Facebook. Thank you very much. We are looking to add more shows to the network. A lot of new shows, actually. Some stuff coming down the pipeline. We're going to see what happens. But the network's going strong. I appreciate everybody who's become a part of it and tuned in. I've always said, if you have a certain type of movie that you like, we've got a show for you. We've got a little bit of everything, even some stuff that's not simply about movies. So go ahead and check out Critical, the Movie Critics Network on Blog Talk Radio, and look us up on Facebook as well. Just type in Critical. I'm sure it'll pop up. Along with some other stuff, but you should be able to find us too. All right. Anyway, let's get going. No time to waste. Let's talk about the Dark Tower. And to do that, let's bring in Matt Razak, who knows more about the Dark Tower than I do. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Glad you make it. You good?
Yeah, no, I'm excited to be here as always. I'm more excited when it's a good movie to talk about, but, This is a pretty.
You just spoiled your review of the Dark Tower. We are.
Oh,
now
I'm sorry.
We don't like it.
It was a secret.
It might have been. I knew
like,
you didn't like it.
Travis, even the fresh ratings on Rotten Tomatoes are like this, but.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I sat there for this is the one thing I hate about posting to the tomato meter is the binary good or bad, fresh
right.
or rotten. I hate it because when I did my review and I wrote my review in rapid fire time that night after I was done, which is usually not a good sign. When I rate reviews really fast, it's usually because I didn't like something.
Yeah.
And my review was pretty much down the middle. When I talked to the publicist after the movie, I said it was mediocre. And that's pretty much how I felt about it. So I was sat there and I was like, I can see how some people would probably like it. People who have no affection for the Dark Tower, who didn't read the books, know nothing about it, they could probably go into it and see this as passable and it'd be perfectly fine. You know? I toyed with the idea of giving it a fresh. And I was like, it kind of could deserve a fresh. But then I was like, but ultimately I had to not give it a fresh because I reread my review and the vast majority of it was negatives. And you know, and the big takeaway from it was that so much of the movie was a disappointment, not necessarily awful, just disappointing.
Yeah. Next, you know, there was a point halfway in my review where I you know, sort of, I was complaining, and then I was like, you know what, I got to put the brakes on this and say that this isn't a bad movie. It's just, instead of feeling like the tentpole of a franchise, it feels like a half-baked single film, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have that grandeur, and it doesn't have that, like, depth to it that you feel like a franchise movie would have. But if someone had told me, if it wasn't based on a Stephen King book and a series that is beloved by a lot of people, I would have gone into it and come out of it more, a little less negative. Not like, oh, that was fantastic and amazing, but just not quite as let down as it was, because it's a middle of the road, weird science fiction fantasy Western thing. And that's what it is. And because it's attached to the Dark Tower, it carries a lot of weight to it. That's, you know, that's something you have to live up to. If you're making a Dark Tower movie, that's something you got to live up to. And that's probably why it took 10 years to even get to the screen.
Right, and that's the biggest problem. Like you said, the biggest problem with the Dark Tower is that it's the Dark Tower.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Because there's just so much to expect. We're talking about 8 books over, like, 30 years. And I don't understand, right from the beginning, I don't really understand why they did it the way they did it, which is to make it, like, kind of a sequel to stuff that happened before that we don't really know about. Which
right.
is like,
there's,
I mean, I just, to people who are familiar with the books, that has to be frustrating. I would think that's very frustrating. You would want to see, you know, you've been waiting forever for this, for you to see your favorite series brought to the screen, and you get this sort of, you know, this sort of hibachi version of the Dark Tower.
Right.
You know,
it's the elevator pitch of 3,000 pages worth of text.
right.
Yeah, and it's because of the way that, you know, I don't want to spoil too much, but because of the way the story ends and the book story ends and is structured, the kind of sequel makes sense in a way, but they just did it entirely wrong. I think it's fantastic that it is this kind of sequel thing, but instead of making it a retelling that could still shift a little bit as a sequel, they instead sort of made it into this mushed, crammed, we need to get all this stuff in there, 90-minute long I don't even know. It's like half the story and the entire story at the same time. It's really weird, and what ends up happening is it feels like it's nothing. It feels like it starts, and then it stops, and nothing really happens. And and one of my biggest complaints was that, and just, you know, a little off of that, but is that it focused so much on the kid and Jake Chambers and the Man in Black, and yet Roland's the most interesting character, and it seemed to like push him to the kid's sidekick, and the kid's nothing but a MacGuffin. He's nothing but a plot device for most of the film. So it had all these like things that it could have used and just didn't.
There's a lot of stuff in there that it teases that you just don't get to find out about. Like I was really interested in learning more about the gunslingers. I was pissed off when it was a cool line, and yet it made me mad because, you know, the Man in Black, he's played by Matthew McConaughey. At one point, he's like, "Their guns are made out of the sword Excalibur," and I'm like,
"Right,
well, goddamn it, I want to know more about that. What is that? What is that about?" It just it was like somebody said, "We got to put this in there so people understand why those guns are special." You know, because before then you would think they're just regular guns. I mean, you wouldn't know why those guns are anything, are meant to be anything. But you know, he just said it sort of offhand to some character who we don't even know who it was. It was just like, it was just one of his random funkies, one of his tech funkies that he had working for him.
Yeah,
which is another thing I don't really get. Like, why does he have these tech funkies around him? Like, I don't get it. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a reason, but I don't get it because it doesn't take time to explain anything.
Right. There's so much in there that, like, you know, I saw it on the screen, having read the book twice. I saw it on the screen and was like, oh, that's that. But there's no way you can know that. It doesn't. And, you know, you can have mystery in or like, you know, throwaway lines that hint at backstory, like that gun line. If, you know, if it's sort of building a bigger universe that kind of plays out in the film and you know it's leading somewhere, but this doesn't lead anywhere and it doesn't build anything. And so what you can tell me, did you feel like coming from the books, I understood where things were coming from. But if I took myself away from reading the books, it just kind of came, I think it would come across as like idea vomit. Like all these cool things, let's just put them in one movie and shove them together. Did it come across to you like that, having not read the books, where there's like, you know, psychic readers and westerns and world jumping and a haunted house and like, because in the books that's all present, but it's so stretched out that it doesn't feel like idea dump. But in the movie, I could see how that could come across as just like all over. Travis, did I lose you?
Hello?